How's everybody doing? Woo! 2020 is gone. And 2020 is at, or 2021. I heard somebody say the other day, this is the first time in history we could say that 2020 is actually hindsight. Right? It's actually behind us. That's so terrible. I know. That's a dad joke. But that's okay. We want to do our year in review. You know, this is one of those times when we get together and we're able to celebrate some of the things that have happened. And of course, this past year, if you had told me what was going to lie ahead of us, I may have called you a liar. But it was a year of medical uncertainty, wasn't it? It was a year of political unrest. It was a year of movements and frustration. It was a year of severe weather. And, of course, coming out of that, all those unprecedented government changes and really spending like the globe has never seen. It was interesting. In January, we started off where the U.S. Killed a high-ranking Iranian military leader, Soleimani. And really, I don't know about you, but some of us were going, yeah, World War III is happening. It is happening. That was kind of the uncertainty that we started with, which shouldn't have been a surprise now that we look back and we see how straining this whole year was. But the Ukraine flight was also shot down, 176 dead, 62 of them being Canadians, and it got a lot of play in our country. We saw Canada win gold in the World Juniors, which gave us a little bit of a break, but then all of a sudden, Harvey Weinstein, his trial began in New York on the same day that he was charged also in L.A. for more sex crimes. We saw Justin Bieber battle Lyme disease, which I was unaware of until I went over some news feeds, and we saw the Houston Astros really get caught in one of the biggest Major League Baseball cheating scandals ever. The sports world seemed to mourn as Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven others died in a helicopter crash on their way to a basketball camp, and the world dealt with this coronavirus idea that we had just found out had escaped China. In the church, we were excited. We started up our Cornwallis meetings for the new year. We had baby Aiden have another surgery, this time on his heart, and there was some of us who knew how serious this was, and we were praying that heaven would move on his behalf, and heaven did. We had a newcomer's lunch right here to try to get people to feel a little more comfortable, and we showed the movie Breakthrough while having a family skate, and we started this series on quality, life without limits. In February, it was another strange time. We saw the Patriots win the Super Bowl. Oh, sorry, that was just habit. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Tony Fernandez died at age 57, battling kidney disease. We saw Denny Hamlin win the second Daytona 500 in a row, but was overshadowed by a crash by Ryan Newman. Terrifying to watch. And then all of a sudden, Fox cut the feed. Stayed up till probably 2:30 in the morning to find out if he was okay. We saw Peter Nygaard, a Canadian fashion giant, charged with sex crimes. We saw protesters shut down the rail system over the pipeline, really immobilizing all of Canada's trade. We saw Grace United Church Hall burn to the ground. And we saw Ahmed Aubrey killed after jogging through a neighborhood in southern Georgia. In the church, we celebrated the life of Rit. We hosted the Lobster Bash and a big, big music night. I don't know if you were here for that, but boy, oh boy, the crowd changed twice because we went on so long, but it was packed in here. We had a family skate. We watched the movie Overcomer, and we had a chili and pie night, which is always glorious. In March, we saw the coronavirus declared a world pandemic. We saw Harvey Weinstein sentenced to 23 years. We saw the NBA be the first sport to shut down for the season, and all other sports followed, and we saw schools around the world postponed. It became the moment of the dreaded mask, and the debate still rages on today. And sadly, we saw Breonna Taylor shot in her apartment. In the church, we activated a donation button online for the first time in our church's history. And Angela thought I was a genius, but it was all about God's timing. We did a leaders event, which we didn't know would be our last public meeting and before the whole shutdown, and we started a Broken Beloved series and continued it online. We picked up our gear in Cornwallis, sadly, due to the school closure, and that uncertainty kind of hung heavy on me. In April, we saw the governments of the world shut down. We saw stimulus packages being offered to those who found themselves out of work. We also saw Hollywood shut down all of its production, and we discovered that sports and movie stars are really not that essential. We saw schools start to give their workload online, and we saw gas prices drop to 68 cents a liter, but don't worry, our Liberal government decided you needed to pay a carbon tax so that we could breathe easier. In the church, we went online. We asked our kids and our youth to join us in the weekly worship and messages that we were doing online, and we even did a few extra special videos for them. We switched our podcast provider, which had been unreliable, and we got a brand new platform so that we could go all in on people's online experiences, but it created an awful lot of work for Kirtland and I, and we started a series on James. We decided that we would work through a book of the Bible and show people, hopefully, how to study the Word of God for all it was worth. And praise the Lord, we had many families call and decide what was the best study Bible and version for them, and they ordered it online so that they could follow along with us, which was very encouraging. We saw the increase in our audience that was joining us online, and Kirtland and I kept busy doing grocery and medication runs for those who were scared to get out. In May, we saw Italy get things under control while the U.S. saw the most cases of coronavirus gone worldwide. We saw people start holding rallies to reopen the country down south, and Nova Scotia went through some crazy things, one being the worst mass shooting in Canadian history, with 24 dead if you count the unborn baby, which I do, including the RCMP officer, Heidi Stevenson. A week later, the Maritimes mourned again when a Navy helicopter went down off the coast of Greece, killing five in the crew and some from Nova Scotia again. And then a week after that, the Snowbirds had a fatal crash while paying tribute to essential workers across Canada. And the crash happened at a takeoff in BC when Captain Jen Casey, who again had roots in Nova Scotia, passed away. The only bright spot seemed to be the fishing season finally started. While it was a month late, some of our young adults were very excited to finally be out of this lockdown. And by the end of the month, the USC had brought live sports back to TV, even though it was done in empty stadiums, and NASCAR and golf followed. There was a cyclone that caused havoc in India. Pakistan had a plane go down, killing some 90 people. The Afghan attack maternity ward killed 24. Suspects in the Ahmed Aubrey killings were finally arrested, and Rabbi Zachariah was promoted to glory, who was probably one of the most powerful voices of this generation when it came to the Lord. We also saw George Floyd die in the streets in Minnesota. While he shouted, "I can't breathe," for way too long. And it still took 4 days for them to arrest one of the officers, but the city was in turmoil. In the church, we saw camps being canceled, camps that they wanted to book me for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden I finally said yes several years ago to a couple of camps, and then they all canceled on me. We saw Beulah Camp canceled for the first time, and it would be found online in the near future. And I found out that I really dislike doing things in front of a camera and was really missing you. While I struggled with that, I decided that I needed to start hiking a little more, and so I started doing that. While Kirtland continued a few of his classes with the downtime, we joined in a district-wide discipleship strategy, which we cannot implement because, of course, we had a hard time meeting at this time. We had some LED lights donated, installed in the foyer and downstairs, and we had some dusk to dawn lights put up outside. We continued to meet online, and we've had our first real online funerals. We celebrated the life of Doris Thomas. In June, Black Lives Matter took over the globe. The pandemic still raged on. Canada extended its CERB program to the end of August, and bars and restaurants were opened in the province, but churches were not. In the church, the town donated to Helping Heat with some wood again. The church was given a fresh coat of paint on the outside. We thought that looked so good that there was some painting done downstairs and in the kitchen while the shutdown was still happening. And we started to think about opening in July as I applied for a liquor license for this place. In July, we saw the Atlantic bubble start. And we saw the Atlantic region go mad because everybody really just wanted to get out and to do something. We saw Elaine Maxwell arrested in the Jeffrey Epstein case. She was accused of grooming many underage girls for Epstein and his powerful friends, but because his friends were powerful, the news did not say much about it at all. Baseball and hockey returned in bubble schedules. The Wii scandal broke, and Trudeau faced his third ethics committee investigation while the world saw Regis Philbin pass away. In the church, we finally got to meet groups of up to 50, so we started at our two services back on July 5th, booking a seat and staying socially distant as best we could. COVID testimony time came about. We heard about how God was faithful even in the lockdown. Kirtland had some teens and some young adults get together in the summer to study a book called Unqualified by Stephen Furyk. We had Mercy Ministries put in winter wood for a senior in our community. Mercy Ministries also helped another woman who is in danger in her residence move to a safe location. And it was a beautiful time seeing her feel at peace. Of course, we started our series called Worthy, which seemed to be a blessing to many. In August, we saw a Beirut explosion. 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate illegally stored in a corrupt government, and it led to riots in the streets. We saw the Leafs eliminated from the first kind of round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, which made it just a waste of time the rest of the whole tournament. We saw Jacob Blake shot 7 times in his back in Kenosha, and then we watched as Kenosha, Wisconsin burned. We saw the details were going to come out from the We Charity scandal, and as they were about to be released, Trudeau decided that he didn't want you to know how much his family was paid, and so he prorogued government. Wow. In the church, we watched the movie I Still Believe, which was the Jeremy Camp story, and it felt so good to be doing something. We saw 3 people get baptized. Praise the Lord. We started our pre-existing conditions series, which seems to challenge many inside and outside the walls of the church, and Murray and Clara used the Atlantic bubble to get a visit in. We had our first load of wood. This was amazing to me. Already go out to help someone heat for the winter. In September, we saw the NHL playoffs be won by Tampa Bay. We saw the NFL begin. We saw back to school. We saw America was still burning itself down. And we saw Hong Kong protests continue while Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. In the church community, we celebrated the life of Pastor Mark Phillips. And it was a beautiful service. We had our Helping Heat Cut Day. We had Mitch and Brooke get married. We had Digby Care 25 nominate the church for a volunteer group of the year. We saw Lloyd and Carol offer up some more slab wood that they had at their mill. And we had a few more cut days getting an extra 6-cord ready to go for those who would need it soon. We started our 13-week grief share program, and we also started a series in Romans. In October, we saw Israel and the Sudan come to a peace agreement over flight space, which was historical. We saw Amy Coney Barrett confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which was also very important to those who believe down south. We saw Sean Connery pass away, Eddie Van Halen pass away, and we saw the Lakers win the whole basketball title while Khabib retired from the UFC. In the church, we started our Christmas boxes. We had a drive-through trunk or treat, which was arguably one of our biggest events ever, giving away 500 bags of candy and making our neighbors nervous with fireworks. We saw Chad and Susan tie the knot. We saw Matthew Lowe get dedicated. We had another delivery for Helping Heat, which again just amplified how important that program was. In November, we saw the passing of Alex Trebek. We saw Biden win, maybe. We saw Tyson come out of retirement and fight again. We saw COVID's second wave hit Canada and the Atlantic bubble burst. We saw PEI in Newfoundland pull out as we saw more new cases. In the church, we had a bean and fish cake takeout, which was amazing. People were tired of cooking. We had a Christmas craft show in which we wore masks and stayed socially distant. We saw Digby Care 25 give us a check for $3,000 to help Heat. We saw Vanguard write a story about the church. We saw Robin and Yoko go back to Japan finally after so long of waiting. We saw A Journey to Bethlehem taped and shared virtually for the first time in its conception, and we dropped off our Christmas boxes for delivery. We praise God that there was three churches that wanted to be a part of the journey to Bethlehem, of course, and many people wanted to watch it online, which was kind of interesting, very, very different year. And again, we had a Helping Heat drop-off in which we were met with tears, and the first question was, is can I share it with my neighbors, which led to another Helping Heat drop-off the next day. In December, we finally saw the World Juniors begin in Edmonton, which has given us a little bit of peace again. But we lost the boat, the Chief William Solace, and 6 members of its crew. We saw Peter Nygaard arrested and charged with 9 counts of sexual assault. We saw the passing of Charlie Pride, and we saw vaccinations begin while COVID 2.0 mutations were found in the UK. And we found out that politicians don't listen to their own policy while all of them seem to jet overseas for vacations. In the church, we relaunched our Cornwallis area service with the help of Deep Brook Lions Club, and it has been a blessing sharing in communion for the first time at our new location. Praise the Lord. We finished off our grief share, which again, overwhelmingly was people from the community coming and learning how to heal, and it was beautiful as we came to an end seeing the results. We saw 2 more deliveries of Helping Heat. We did an annual Christmas basket give to those who were financially strapped or lonely, and we gave to several families who needed it. We had our Christmas Eve service online, which we said, if we're going to change it up, let's add some distortion pedal and do it very strange. We had people listening from California even. So all of this year, you know what, has been filled with stress yet blessing. And I hope that you have had a whole bunch of lessons learned in the year 2020, because one thing 2020 has taught us is how to stop and to slow down, hasn't it? Now, some of us have embraced that. Others of us have railed against it. But either way, I think there's something beautiful about stopping and waiting upon the Lord, especially for those of us who are believers. We learned, I hope, that the church is a lot more than just a building on Sunday, that we learned that our faith is required 7 days a week. We learned that stopping and slowing down, God's voice can actually be heard in new ways. And we learned that there was many things that we could do without, things that we didn't need to buy. As I was preparing for this message, there was a verse that I wanted to share with you guys, a little passage that I've read 100 times, but it seemed to be amplified to me this year in all of the uncertainty. It's found in John 10. I want to read to us verses 1 to 5. It says this: "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep's pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." I was asked to share online with a group from Ontario, one of the camps that actually had to cancel, and I was privileged to be able to do that. And I had this passage on my mind, and I shared it with them. What was interesting was, is when I kind of came back to it, I really realized some of the players in the story, and who are they? We are told about thieves that are lurking about. We're told about gatekeepers that are watching. We are told about the good shepherd. Well, we know this, the enemy never has anything good for us planned but our destruction. Amen? We know that. He is the father of lies. We know that he's the deceiver. We know that he's the evil one. We know the games that he wants to play. And far too often, we, even in the church, are found playing his games. Thinking about his false promises, his shallow momentary pleasures. And that's sad, but we must be aware of them. I was thinking of the gatekeeper. Arguably, gatekeepers are taken for granted. They're overlooked so many times. When things are great, that means the gatekeeper is doing his job. When things go wrong, the gatekeeper seems to be the first one that they blame. So often, his warning calls go unnoticed, but make no mistake, he is the one who is keeping watch over the sheep, waiting for the shepherd. And then the good shepherd, the beautiful one who knows his sheep and knows each of them by name. His voice is a calming one. His sheep love that voice. They know that voice. But what's interesting is the good shepherd comes to lead the sheep outside of the pen. The shepherd knows that it is a land of dangers, knows that there are those who are trying to hurt, yet the shepherd still wants to lead the sheep outside of the pen. Do you know that God often wants us outside of the pen? That he longs to lead us to great adventures and incredible victories? But so often, the sad point is we don't know his voice. Other times, we're just too scared to leave the safety of the pen because we know that there are things outside the pen that are unfamiliar. We know that there are things outside the pen that could be a mystery to us or hurt us. But as sheep, I want to remind us as we enter 2021 that we have one job as a sheep, and it's to know the shepherd's voice. The one who protects, the one who leads, the one who provides. Our job is simply to listen. And yet so often, we're found arguing or ignoring the voice that is best for us. This year, as the Good Shepherd calls, I hope that we would be on the move. That as he longs to lead to wonderful green pastures that are outside of the pen, that we would certainly be found following him as he leads. That's my prayer for 2021. That we would know the voice of the shepherd. that his voice would be so common that it would be as common as our own, and he would be far more trusted. That we'd be found listening, but not just listening, we'd be found on the move. Each time he calls, we would have the courage to step outside the pen. Everybody bow your heads. We know we thrive in his presence and protection. We know that the shepherd knows best. My prayer is that we would hear his calling. What is God calling you to in 2021? See, you may not know that God is that specific, but he absolutely is. Where is God calling you to? And again, you may think that God is not that specific, but he absolutely is. And the reality is we cannot know what God is calling us to or where God is calling us if we do not recognize his voice. Oh, that our desire would be the shepherd. You know, the greatest adventure that I have ever experienced in this life to date is the adventure of chasing the shepherd. It's been far more exciting and far more rewarding and far more filled with craziness than anything I have ever tried on my own. And I want you to know that there is life outside the pen, life designed for you, green pastures to explore, fresh waters to drink from. My hope and my prayer is that we'd have the courage to follow where he leads. Let's pray. Father God, as we've looked back on this craziness of 2020, Lord, I've been overwhelmed many times. Ministry has changed. And Lord, there's times I'd like to get that feller who told me to go to Bible college and get a Bible and punch him in the face. But Lord, one thing is true is you have been faithful throughout this whole year. And Lord, when we didn't know what to do, you still led the way. Lord, I want to thank you for all of the blessings despite the curse that this year has shown us. I want to thank you because your voice has been faithful and been very, very clear. God, if anything, we can look back at this year and understand that you are a God who is always in control, always faithful, and always true. And Lord, certainly we can look back at this year and say that you are always enough for us. So, Father, I pray that as we enter 2021, that your blessing would again go before us. That we would understand that you are the good shepherd and our ears would be tuned ever so clearly to your voice. But Lord, the days in which we live would remind us that you're coming again soon. And I pray that we would be found following ever so close. And Father God, now more than ever before, I believe that you are going to call. You're going to call people. There's going to be a great return to you. Lord, at the same time, I think there's going to be a great falling away. It's going to be this topsy-turvy, crazy time, and that's okay, because, Father, you're the one who's going to be leading us. I pray that we would hear you. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for your voice. Thank you for what lies ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.